I think preaching the final Sunday of the year is one of my favorite things as a pastor. I like to do a little bit of rehearsing and reminding myself. I look back through the things that God did all through the year. Brings a lot of encouragement. I commend it to you. I invite you to spend the next 3 days, today, tomorrow, Tuesday, what remains of 2019, and rehearse, recall the things that God's been doing in your life and through your life throughout this year. I find it profoundly encouraging and inspiring. And we're going to do that together in a corporate way, and I hope you find it inspiring and encouraging as well. Before I begin my message entitled Remember, I want to share a story. So listen up, youngsters in the room. Two little boys, ages 8 and 10, are excessively mischievous. They are always getting into trouble, and their parents know all about it. If any mischief occurs in their little town of Dayton, the two boys are probably the ones involved. The boy's mother heard that a pastor in town had been successful in disciplining children, so she asked him if he would speak with her boys. The pastor agreed, but he asked to see them individually, so the mother sent the 8-year-old first in the morning with the older boy to see him later in the afternoon. The pastor, a huge man with a booming voice, sat the younger boy down and asked him sternly, "Do you know where God is, son?" The boy's mouth dropped open, but he made no response, sitting there wide-eyed. So the pastor repeated the question in even a sterner tone, "Where is God?" Again, the boy made no attempt to answer. The preacher raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face and bellowed, "Where is God?" The boy screamed and bolted from the room, ran directly home, and dove into his closet, slamming the door behind him. When his older brother found him in the closet, he asked, "What happened?" The younger boy, gasping for breath, replied, "We are in big trouble this time, dude. God is missing, and they think we did it." Good news, kids. You can't misplace God. You can't hide him. He's never missing. It's really good news. He's never missing. He's always with us, always present. Remember. When we hear the word remember, I wonder what you think of. There's some wonderful stories in the Bible that instruct us to remember. There's a story of Noah. Noah was the one who built this immense ark to save his family and all the animals. And at the close of the great flood that covered the whole earth, God says this, "The rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will flood waters destroy all life." So God made a covenant with his people that I will never wipe you out with a worldwide flood again. And to remember that covenant, it says he placed a rainbow in the sky. And so that's his way of remembering the covenant he made with mankind. There's another instruction in Exodus. It says in part of the Ten Commandments, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." So remember. It says, remember the Sabbath, rest every week, worship and focus on the Lord. Another remembrance is in the Gospels. In Luke 22, it says it this way, "Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.'" So in this example, Jesus is instructing his disciples, remember me. Every time we observe communion, which we do on the first Sunday, and we'll do it next week, where we take the bread and the juice, we're instructed to remember Jesus. Remember the covenant of grace that Jesus made with us, where he gives us new life. He forgives our sin, and he gives us new life in him. So remember is a really powerful word, and I want us to remember a few things together this morning. One of the things I want us to remember, of course, is our mission and our vision. And we know what our mission is, right, church? It is to love big, grow deep, and go out. So love big, grow deep. That's why we exist. We exist to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as we love ourselves. And we are going to continue growing into who God created us to be, deeper in love with Christ, deeper roots and foundation in the Lord. And we're going to go out. We're going to take the good news of the gospel. We're going to take the new life in Christ that we've been blessed with, and we're going to share it everywhere we go with everyone we meet, and we are going to go out into our broader community and across the world with the good news. We're going to love and grow and go. Yeah? So that's our mission. Our vision is to see thousands of people saved and healed and passionately following Jesus. And so I want us to always remember that's the mission and vision God's given this church. There it is on that slide. So by all means, remember that. I also want us to remember a few things together this morning. They're all going to start with R. So I've got alliteration going on here. I'm going to use a lot of R words. Remember to continue relating to God. Your relationship with the Lord in 2019, in 2020, and for every moment of your life, your relationship with God is the most important thing you have. Nurture it, strengthen it, grow. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. Remember that, church. I'll say it as strong as I know how to say it. If there's anything in your life that isn't working, the answer is more Jesus. It really is. If you want to improve your marriage, you need more of a relationship with Jesus. If you want a wayward child to be restored, then more Jesus in your life and their life. If you want a difficult work situation to get better, then you need a deeper relationship, more intimacy with Jesus. Everything in your life that doesn't work and needs fixing is more relationship with Jesus. That's the answer. So I say it this way. This is my best attempt at tweet-worthy summary. The strength, the health, the fruit, the measure of everything in my life will depend on the quality of my relationship with God. If I want anything better in my life, it will come from a deeper, more intimate love relationship with Jesus. One of the ways we can grow in our relationship with God is to know what He says about us and about His creation. And that story is captured in the Bible. And what I have here is a gift. I love giving these away on the last Sunday of the year. These are read through the Bible in 1 year. They're broken up in easy to read sections every day of the year. Reading God's word daily will strengthen your relationship with the Lord in a way nothing else can do. And so some of you like hard copy, and you can come up and get one of these read through the Bible in a year Bibles. These are lovingly used and now being repurposed to whoever wants to take one. So you can come up and pick this up anytime. And for those who like to read digitally, you like an electronic reader, I commend to you the YouVersion app, YOUVersion app. It has countless read through the Bible plans along with devotionals that go with it. So you can download YOUVersion app and begin a reading plan for the new year. One of the wonderful ways to strengthen your relationship with the Lord. Another way to strengthen our relationship with the Lord is to have seasons of fasting and prayer. And so Sue already mentioned it, at the start of 2021, we're going to go ahead and have 21 days where we call the whole body together for fasting and prayer. And we don't fast and pray to twist God's arm. We don't fast and pray to be more righteous and legalistic and ritualistic to catch His attention. He already loves you. We don't do this as a religious exercise. We do it as a way to remove distractions in our life and have more focus on our relationship with Him. And as we remove things that distract us, food, media, maybe hobbies, activities, and focus on the Lord in their place, we can open our hearts and our spirits to hear from Him. So it's an exercise in intimacy, fasting and prayer, not an exercise in ritual religion. Okay? So we're gonna be doing that together in the new year to strengthen our relationship. Another thing I want us to remember as we close out this year and move into the new year is the importance of reflecting. This is a bit of a lost discipline in our lives today. Our lives are run so quick, so full throttle, and we move from thing to thing that we rarely have moments of peaceful quiet and rest where we can just listen. Even in our devotional life, for those of us who read through the Bible and play worship music and pray to the Lord, we will fill every moment of our devotional life with some kind of activity and not just be still and listen and reflect. It's a really wonderful thing to have in our lives. This is a passage from Psalm 63. King David, who wrote many psalms, says this. I'm going to read it in the NIV here. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with richest foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. David says that in the middle of the night, when I wake up, I remember you. In the Passion Translation here on the screen, it says, I lie awake each night thinking of you and reflecting on how you help me like a father. Some of us really can embrace wakeful moments in the middle of the night. Other of us find it, to be honest, distressing or anxiety-producing or fearful. And it's usually one or the other. Either waking up in the middle of the night is this wonderful moments of solitude with the Lord, or it's these really anxiety, stressful moments where through our head are running all the things that aren't going right or might go wrong or might cause me harm. And it's so like the enemy to take wakeful, peaceful moments in the middle of the night and pervert them into something that is stressful and fear-inducing. And I would just say, in those times, whether your thoughts naturally go to the Lord and His goodness and faithfulness in your life, or whether your thoughts run into fear and anxiety, just begin rehearsing His word and begin rehearsing His faithfulness and goodness, and you will capture some wonderful times in your relationship with the Lord going forward. Okay? The enemy wants to divide you and destroy you, and he will rob you in those moments in the middle of the night. But David here says, I lie awake and I think about how you've treated me as a loving father. That's a beautiful thing that can be a part of our lives as well. And I just want you to know, when he wrote this passage, he was on the run from King Saul in the desert. He wasn't in the luxury of his Swedish foam mattress. So his life wasn't all hunky-dory as he was writing this declaration of faith, where I lie awake and reflect on how you help me like a father. Let's do that too. Let's remember our relationship with the Lord is the most important thing we carry with us, and reflecting moments of quiet, moments of peace and rest where we reflect on who God is are so valuable in our relationship. This year, 2019, has been a really good year on a personal level for me. I got to do something I've wanted to do. It's been on my lifetime goal. I got to go late in the summer on a 5-day silent retreat to a monastery up just east of Winchester, Berryville, the Holy Cross Abbey. I spent 5 days with the Lord and with my Bible, and I just commend you to it. Now, for some of you, 5 days with no electronics and silence is hellacious to think about. But so don't start at 5 days. Wherever you're at, maybe just start with 5 minutes of phone off over here and just me and the Lord. And I'm not going to fill it with music. I'm not going to fill it with reading out loud. I'm just going to sit in solitude and listen. So start with where you're at. For me, I've wanted to do it for a long time. I got to do it. It was one of the highlights of my year. And during that time, I was reading from the Message paraphrase, and God, out of this story of the three servants and the talents that I've read so many times, something leapt out at me as I was reading in the Message paraphrase. It said of the rebuke the master gave the servant who buried his talent, he said, "It's criminal to live life so cautiously." I'd never identified with the bury your talent guy until I read that passage, and I was like, I do live my life comfortably and cautiously, and the Lord says, it's criminal. When we get a revelation of how much he loves us and all he's done for us, we can take way more risk for him than we ever have. And so I'm sharing that. Now I'm accountable. Well, you can ask me how that's going. So I had a wonderful silent retreat where God spoke to me. I had one of the top five ministry times of my life. I got to also in the summer go on a South Dakota, Black Hills of South Dakota pastoral intensive where myself and another pastor invested in the lives of 10 network, One Focus Network pastors that we're related to. And it was a wonderful week of investing my life in them, pouring scripture into them, praying and prophesying over them, and their hearts being opened up to the Lord. It was like a gift. That happened this year. Sue and I had the privilege of going to our fourth and final college graduation. We are officially empty nesters, and we love it. It's been a good year. We love our kids. We love empty nesting. It's been a good year. But whether this year has been a good year for you in a similar fashion to me, or whether it has been dreadful and difficult and you can't wait to say 2019 is over, the keys are still to remember your relationship with God is the single most important thing in your life. Nurture it, grow it, let it become stronger, and continue to reflect on his goodness. He is always good. He is always faithful. He will never leave you or forsake you. Reflect on his nature and his character. Remember who he is and what he's done. He has rescued our lives. He has saved us from things that we know about, and he has preserved our life from tragedy that we don't even know about. So here's a little highlight for this is I also spent a week on the Appalachian Trail up in Maine, and that's Mount Katahdin, and I had the best week of hiking the trail that we've had together in 9 years. Boom. Great year. All right, Grace Covenant Church has had a really strong year too. It's been a really good year corporately. Again, individually, we probably are all over the map, but corporately, it's been a really good year for Grace Covenant Church, and it has continued a trend of 7 years of really gradual, fruitful growth. The bottom line on this graph shows our attendance. So 7 years ago, 2013, when we worshiped on a Sunday in all of our different services, it was just under 600 people. As we gather and worship the Lord here and at East and upstairs, each Sunday it averages over 800 people who are worshiping the Lord together. As we go out and share the love of Christ in our community, more and more people are being attracted to God. And so we've had growth in attendance. We've also had growth financially, real nice, steady, incremental growth. We were right around $1 million in annual budget 7 years ago, and we're real close to pushing 1.4 in our annual budget because of your all's generosity and faithfulness to give. And so I just say, way to go, church. I commend you. These kinds of graphs, they get me jazzed. I am so excited. Like, it is such a privilege to lead a church where that kind of health is demonstrated. And then I just want to acknowledge attendance and finances are the easy things to track. But even more importantly, there is this whole internal work of the Lord in our lives. Are we more forgiving as a people than we were a year ago? Are we more generous? Are we more gracious? Are we more loving to others than we are? Are we more patient? Are we more kind? Are we more gentle? Do we demonstrate the Christ-like characteristics that are listed in the fruit of the Spirit. I pray that is true. I pray that if we take any internal character quality that is the fruit of the Spirit and had a graph of it, we would see the same kind of progress and growth. But it's really difficult to measure those things, isn't it? But what I commend to you, again, is if you will ask the Lord, he'll speak to you. Here's a risky thing. Sometimes sit with the Lord in your devotional life, and instead of reading, and instead of listening to music, and instead of praying, just say, Lord, what would you like to change in me? Where can I grow more humble? Where can I grow more sacrificial? What, Lord, do you want to change in my life? I've shared this before. Occasionally, in a courageous moment on one of our double dates, I'll ask Sue, hey, babe, what would you like to see change in my life? Try that too, I encourage you. Ask the Lord, ask your spouse, or ask someone really close to you, because you will have insight on where your growth is, and you can trust the Lord with your heart and with your life. You can ask him any question. He won't steamroll you. He won't reject you. He won't abuse you. He'll lovingly. I've had the Lord speak so many things, and I've shared over the years, pride has come up a number of times. And the Lord is faithful. So remember, your relationship is your most important thing in your life. And remember to continue to reflect. And we're doing that right now. Grace has shown growth. And it is so encouraging and inspiring, and I hope you're encouraged as well. Here's another picture that talks about the growth of grace. So over that same 7-year window, as money resources have come into this church, this pie chart shows how we have stewarded it. So think about, again, if you're a numbers person, this is jazz. So let me interpret this for anybody who's like, pretty colors, Merle, so what? So there's like 7 different pieces of pie, and they vary by percentage. Administrative is putting on the lights, the water bill, the administrative support staff, the rental of the Grace East campus. Administrative is all those kinds of things that are necessary in life. The ministry one, that's 5%. That's our prayer ministries, Grace Inner Healing Ministry, our ministry team, those kinds of activities. The fellowship, that's all of our small groups and the activities around that, including the big party we had this summer for all of the volunteers when we had that blowout picnic out there. So those are fellowship kinds of things. Grace in Español is our Spanish language service that's happening upstairs right now. Worship is the team that we've developed and all of the resources around it, the sound gear, the music gear, sending them to retreats, to our conferences to be equipped. So that's worship. Training is everything we expend for the development of our children, nursery, youth, middle school, all of those activities. Okay. So down there at the bottom is the big piece of the pie, and it says for every dollar that goes out of Grace's door, 30 cents of it is attached to either local outreach agencies or international missions. That's really strong. I'm so pleased. When we look at that pie chart, this is comprehensive. So there's, without getting too budgety, there's money that comes in that is tithes and offerings, and then there's designated giving. You guys believe in international mission so much that you give another $150,000 to international missions. So the money we send out is several hundred thousand from our general budget, and the money you designate to go out is another 150,000 plus, and so that's why that big pie wedge at the bottom is so big, is because we as a church decide to spend money in missions, and you all, this booklet, this go out booklet that is so beautiful, and I hope you've gotten one, there's over 20 ministries and missionaries here, and you can designate gifts to them, and every time you do, we pass it on without taking anything out. Okay? So that's why that number is so big. Is that clear? It's a beautiful picture regardless. Okay. So that's, again, another way to to see and rehearse the good things that God has done. Years ago, we have a prophetic minister, Dwayne White, who comes to our church periodically. And right after I came on staff in the late 90s, he made one of his first visits. And one of his early prophetic words over this church is that God's going to use this place to resource millions into international ministry. And I remember the first time as administrator and then executive pastor back in the day, I did this summary and I realized we had exceeded the 1 million mark in terms of finances going into international missions. And I want you to know the number's well over 8 million now. Come on. Yay, God, over the life of this church. Building the church locally and internationally. I'm so proud of you guys. Such a privilege to lead a generous, healthy church. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, bringing it home. Remember, your relationship with the Lord is the most important. Remember, reflect and rehearse his goodness and his faithfulness. And then the last thing I want us to remember is to reproduce. Now, that happens in a literal biographical sense. We've had over 20 babies this year. I use that we generously. Thank God it's you having those babies. We're done. Have more. Be fruitful and fill the earth. That's what the Lord says. So I rejoice in all of the biological growth. We've also, this year, on our Connect cards, there's a little place where you can check that says, I decided to follow Jesus. And then we follow up that over 33 people have made a decision to follow Jesus this year. Here and between here, upstairs, and Grace East. Is it? Actually, come on. You can clap. You clap more for money. We're clapping for spiritual new life. It says there's a party in heaven with the angels every time one person comes to the Lord. So here's a testimony that I want to share with you that blessed me already this week. So last week, somebody who worshiped with us 2018, in the fall of 2018, someone who worshiped with us who then moved on to Oregon wrote this note. And it's a wonderful note. And she's sitting here, so I'm going to read it. Accurately, I have her permission. It says, I'm Katie from Bend, Oregon. I've been a changed, healed, wild joy bomb of God's love for 67 weeks. Wait, clap. I just have to say, I want to tweet that more than I want to tweet whatever my delight says. It says, I have been a changed, healed, wild joy bomb of God's love for 67 weeks. I met Jesus in September 2018, and I'll never be the same. I only come to Grace 3 times a year, but you are my church when I'm here. I look around and see all these wonderful people who would be my family if I lived here. I wish I had time to meet and know you all, but what joy. Though we are limited here in the earth, I'm delighted to look upon the brothers and sisters here in Grace Covenant and know we will be together with our Heavenly Father in heaven forever. Yes! Rhea from the coffee bar made me feel so welcomed today. Please share this little nut with Rhea and that we can share my joy. We serve the God who heals. He frees the bitter heart. I was a bitter heart. I'm now free. No more bitterness, no more unforgiveness, no more empty, anxious longing. I am Christ. This is freedom. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we share the love of Christ everywhere we go, everywhere we meet people. That's why we are reproducing as a church. You know, in the early 80s and 90s, many of you weren't here then. In the early 80s and 90s, Grace Covenant Church planted multiple churches throughout Virginia and even some down in Uruguay. And then for about 20 years, we kind of hit the pause button and we didn't reproduce as a church. But this year, back in March, we reproduced again and planted a campus of Grace Covenant Church out east, and I just got back from there, and it's just beautiful what God is doing through our obedience to his call to go out and plant another campus. And I just want to say, if your normal routine at Grace Covenant Church is to worship here at 11 or to worship here at 9, that's great, but I want to encourage you, would you consider going to Grace East one Sunday in the next few months, before Easter 2020, if you've never participated at Grace East, would you do that? I could put you on the spot. I won't. And another thing that would be really great is some Sunday, instead of worshiping here at 11, walk upstairs and worship with your brothers and sisters in Spanish. You may not understand the language. You understand and remember the melodies, and you can make any joy phone. You can sing any lyric you want. It's okay. But I just want you to know, when family shows up and is together, it is such a blessing, and it is so encouraging. Just this week, Sue and I, empty nesters, had our 4 adult children, and one is married, so we had them all at the dinner table for 3 nights this week. There is so much joy when the family is together. And when we show up at Grace East and support our family, it blesses and encourages. When we go upstairs and worship with our family, it blesses and encourages. So show up. You would be amazed at the weight of your presence in corporate worship in those places. Is that good? You got it? So reproduce. Reproduce biologically. Reproduce spiritually. We're going out. That's why we went to Grace East. And I want you to know, we're not done. We're called to reproduce. We're going other places by God's grace. I love the nodded heads. That very well means he could be sending some of us. And here, I'll go further. Don't even ask the Lord, should you visit? Yes, you should visit. It's family. You don't need to ask the Lord that. They're your family. Go visit. But what you should ask the Lord is, should I stay? Are you calling me to go and stay? Because I can serve and bless. There are people, Mount Solon, Weir's Cave, Mount Sydney, Verona, who don't know Jesus, hundreds, thousands who don't know Jesus yet. There's people, Broadway, Timberville, Bergton, Folks Run, don't know Jesus. And there are good churches in those places, but there's not a Grace Covenant church, and people don't travel very far to go to church anymore, typically. So we're going to go where they are. Yeah. Like, I'm really jazzed right now, and there's, yeah. Pray about it. Go. Go and make disciples. Jesus had lots of people following him. He would draw a crowd every time he made lunch. You know, he would feed 5,000 people. That's pretty impressive. Jesus had so many people who followed him because of his miraculous signs. But he is telling us here, make disciples. Disciples are a bit different than followers. Disciples make disciples. That's what we want to be, right? We don't want to just follow Jesus. We want to be disciples, true disciples who make other disciples, who make disciples, who reproduce. Disciples reproduce. Followers, not so much. Reproduce. Worship team, why don't you come up? So let's review real quick. Remember, your relationship is the most important thing. Strengthen it, nurture it. Reflect on what God's done in your life. Rehearse it. Recall all the good things. Review his faithfulness and goodness. There, I just did 4. Rehearse, recall, review, reflect, remember. And lastly, reproduce. Everything that God's done in our lives, the salvation, the healing, and the things he's continuing to do, let's share that with people who don't know who he is yet. And every year, we will have a bigger party. I love parties. More Jesus, more parties. That was what offended the religious people. He kept going to where parties were. So I want to close by reading a wonderful passage as a bit of a blessing. John 15. I'm going to read a few verses in John 15. I want to invite you to stand right now. We're going to close. Going to close with me reading this John 15 passage over you and then praying a blessing over you. And then there's been a song over Christmas that has really impacted my heart. And my prayer is it'll positively impact your heart as we close with that worship song. So here we go. John 15. Jesus is speaking here. Jesus says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me, Jesus says. Remain in my love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to Grace Covenant this year. We confess that apart from you, we could do nothing. Your grace is what has enabled us to reach new people with the good news. Your love and your grace has saved and healed people. We are humbled that you have shown your goodness to us and through us to our community. Would you keep bringing people to salvation, Lord? Would you keep bringing healing to people in this community, I pray. I ask, Lord, that you would pour out your love and your goodness on each one standing. I bless each one of you to remain in God's perfect love. I bless you to always know his presence is with you. I bless you to experience his goodness and faithfulness in unmistakable ways in 2020. I bless you to produce much fruit for the glory of the Father and in the great name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.